Again, for the Travs, there is a second half, but you know what? You can go over and support tonight. It's always a good experience, provided the weather cooperates. So we'll see how that goes. But speaking of baseball, Todd Butler has taken a new position and actually a pretty good payday for a college baseball coach. Headed to Wichita State, the former, I guess he's the hitting coach and assistant head coach at Arkansas, now will be the head coach at Wichita State. And you can listen to Overtime today, and he will join Trey Schaap to talk about the new position.
It's a well-deserved promotion. I mean, he was the top assistant for Dave Enhorn for 8 years, the top recruiter, very well-respected, a great baseball man. I had a chance to talk with him a few times in the few games that I filled in for Chuck with the Razorback baseball team. And now, I mean, it is an open hole on the Arkansas coaching staff, but I'm sure it'll be filled pretty well. I think Dave Enhorn knows who he needs to look for. But then when you lose your top recruiter, you got to find somebody with those kind of connections,
right?
And it's tough to find.
Well, in Arkansas, again, they have their work cut out for them. Recruiting is going to be job one with all the losses to Major League Baseball. So it's a bit of a rebuilding year for Arkansas. There's some good core talent coming back, but a lot of new faces will be on that roster next season.
That's right, and you know, try to find a way to get a few more hitters. I guess I think that some of the younger players look like they could hit, like they could swing the bat pretty well. But obviously, this was a year that the runs were at a premium.
10:09, Justin Akre, Phil Elson here in the Fury Electric studio, also joined by Clinton McDonald, the Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman, who is back in the studio along with Dominique Magruder. Guys, good to see you. Camp on Wednesday, and not camp for you, but camp for some young people in Jacksonville.
Exactly. I mean, Jacksonville and the surrounding areas around Jacksonville, something to give back a little bit, to kind of show the kids the fundamentals of football, and allow them to have a sense of pride about the community, a sense of pride about what they're doing out on the field, opposed to it just being a sport. Or for me, it's just being a job. It's something being you love and you want to give back and you want to, you know, contribute to what you've been blessed with.
You do any singing?
No, I don't do any singing. I don't do any singing.
You got great pipes. Great pipes. Good to have you back in the studio, man.
Yes, sir. Good to be back.
Dominique, talk to me about some of the details. If folks want to get young folks involved, what's our age group and what's the cost, what's the times, all that?
The age group is going to be ranged from all the way from 5 or 6 to all the way to 12, 13, right, Clint?
Yeah, about 17.
17, 18, I take that back. Yeah, all the way to high school. Because, like, I know on your show you always talk about the talent level in Arkansas. It started with the youth just to bring up more and more talent. Because, like, 8th graders are getting offered scholarships now.
I know, that is crazy. How about that?
And with that being said, which early registration is, what, $25? Mm-hmm. $25, and the day of registration is $35. When you get a T-shirt and lunch and stuff like that, items like that, which I believe this is going to be one of the good camps out of all of them that's going on this week. I know a lot of them are going on.
Mm-hmm.
With you know, you get the fundamental skills, and the fundamentals are the most important ones because that's going to take you the longest, separate you from a different player.
This is a one-day camp.
A one-day camp.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is it the high school?
No, it's at Dupree Park.
It's
going
to be at Dupree Park, okay. On soccer field.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, and this is, again, Wednesday, and it says right here on my list, 8:30 registration, and it starts at 9 o'clock sharp.
Yes, sir.
We're not messing around here.
This
we're
not messing around.
You can run this like an NFL camp. You guys got to be on time. Exactly. If you're not early, you're late, right?
Hey, you got to pay that big fine.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to pay the big fine.
Better be on Tom Coughlin time. Show up 15 minutes early.
That'd be good. Well, if registration starts at 8:30, there's no reason to be late for the 9 o'clock start time. But can they sign up in advance?
Yeah, they can sign up in advance.
You can go to the Jacksonville Boys and Girls Club. You can go to the Jacksonville City of Commerce, City Hall, the community center over there, and sign up. You can call in 501-982-6418 to Mrs. Bonnie McDonald to pre-register. And I'm just throwing this out here for right now. You know, none of the proceeds are going to me or anybody in my camp. Everything's going back into the Boys and Girls Club in Jacksonville. And I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there for the first 25 campers. I'm putting a scholarship out there for them.
I like that.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's out of generosity to my heart, you know, what God blessed me with. You know, it's be a sin for me to keep it to myself. So I feel like, you know, whoever wants to come out and learn football, the basics of football and some of the basics of life, how to work hard and, you know, how your hard work shows for you. I mean, come on out. We got a great day for you. Food, you know, friends and family, you know, things like that.
For those who don't know, Clinton is a Jacksonville native, played at Memphis, and now with Seattle, and what a great experience it was. Last season, we were talking in the break about the postseason run that the Seahawks enjoyed last year, and one of the great, young, exciting teams. I think everybody is familiar with Pete Carroll around here. Unfortunately, when he was at USC, put it on Arkansas a couple of times, but seems like a guy that would be great to play for. But let's start with the playoff experience last year. Talk to me about how to be pretty magical.
I'm getting chills right now thinking about it, and it's kind of funny because my first year in the NFL, I played for the Cincinnati Bengals, and we went to the playoffs, and we swept our division and things like that. But actually going to the playoffs with a young team like ourselves, it was just very exciting because you like a team, just like any job or anything like that, you got different dynamics. And to allow us to come together in the middle of the season as one team and actually flourish and see our strongholds and see our weaknesses and recognize them and put them out there in front of everything and say we can either go from here and get better or we can go from here and be a mediocre team and get worse. And I feel like Pete Carroll did an amazing job motivating the guys and getting the guys together and just pushing us to be the best we can be.
The quarterbacks always get the majority of the attention, especially when they play like Russell Wilson did last year. When did you guys realize, let's talk from the defensive side of the ball, that this guy could be pretty special and lead you into the playoffs?
I mean, to be honest with you, when they signed Matt Flynn, before he even came, you know, we pretty much expected Matt Flynn to be the starting quarterback. But I remember after they made the draft choices, Russell Wilson came in, and I actually got a chance to meet him and talk to him for a little bit. And it was just something different about him. It was just something different about him. His whole swagger, his whole, you know, his face, the way he looked, the way he carried himself was totally different. And I had like a confidence just from meeting him. Like, you know what? Even if he doesn't start, he's a good guy to be around. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, through the rookie mini camp and throughout the season, the preseason games, and you see him start develop as a NFL quarterback, opposed to a college quarterback or a college baseball player or a minor league baseball player. He has the maturity. He has his composure together mm-hmm. to the point he's not rattled about small things. He takes that leadership role very seriously, and he takes it to heart. And, you know, he has his ducks in order, as I like to say, when it comes to being in the first one in the building to study his film to the last one as a rookie quarterback is very impressive.
Yeah, or his Hawks in order, I guess, in your case.
Yeah.
Clint McDonald, defensive lineman, Seattle, joining us in the studio again. Camp is Wednesday. Dupree Park and benefiting the Jacksonville Boys and Girls Club. Dominic Magruder also here. You know, it's crazy. You grew up in the South and playing at Memphis. I mean, you know how crazy people are about football down here, and everybody understands with the SEC that, you know, this is where the best football is played at that level. But it is amazing to me. We have learned, I guess, in recent years how insane people are in the northwest part of the United States about football. And we talk about – somebody brought up Oregon to me several years ago, and I'm like, there's no way Oregon has a great home field advantage. But I think it's pretty well regarded now as one of the great home field advantages in all of college football. And the Seahawks, you ask anybody, that's the toughest place to go on the road and play. So what is it about the fans up there?
I mean, it's you know, in the South, like you said, everybody knows the fans love their football. And when you go to the Great Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks is the only team up there that plays good football or football, period, mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, in the Vikings in Minnesota or the Packers in Green Bay. And then you go a little bit further or a little bit southern down there, you go to Colorado and you got the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, you got Canada, you got Oregon, you have Idaho, and you have these surrounding states that have no major team.
They don't root for the Niners?
They root for the Niners. So every, I mean,
not the smart people, right?
The smart people don't root for the Niners in Seattle anyway. But you got to understand, like, the tradition for the 49ers, I mean, that's what the Seattle Seahawks is building at this time, you know. And the fans, whether we win, lose, or draw, they're there every Sunday, Thursday, or Monday. And they're just crazy. It's the loudest stadium I ever played in.
They've always been known for being loud, and that's even, you know, you go back to the days of the Kingdom, and the Kingdom was known as, when people showed up, as being, they could blow the roof off the place. I mean, literally blow the roof off the place. And it's funny because, you know, that they're in this, you know, open-air stadium now, which I understand actually gets a little bit louder than the Kingdom
did. Yeah, I don't know
if
it's the way they built the stadium or the dynamics, but I mean, I played in the AFC North, and I played in the Green Bay, played in Baltimore, and played in, you know, Cincinnati, and these are all great places to play, played in Cleveland. But it's something about the fans in Seattle, how they just, I mean, the whole game, they're standing up. And you think you're at a college game.
Mm-hmm.
You think you have that type of atmosphere.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like they love the team, and the team loves the fans. Even after we lost against the Falcons last year, we came home, and you would have thought we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody was lined up outside cheering for us. And it's kind of one of those feelings like a premonition. You know, you see the potential of the city and to see the potential of the team, and it kind of hurts coming home to giving them an L. But at the same time, you know, with fans like that and support like that, you want to do better.
Well, Clinton, it's like my wife's favorite 80s band, Poison, once sang. Give them something to believe in.
Exactly.
Give them something to look forward to for the coming season. So,
exactly.
Of course, they're all hyped up about the years to come. Clint McDonald, Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman, joining us in the studio. And
Clint, you guys are looked over as far as your defense, man. Everyone's talking about Russell Wilson. The Seattle Seahawks allowed the fewest points in the NFL last year. Defense won them games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we work as a unit out there. It's not just defenses, it's not just offense. We all work as a unit, and to the main thing about it, you know, we're a team. You know, so Russell goes out there with the offense, and him and Marshawn Lynch and the offensive linemen and the wide receivers we got, Golden Tate, you know, Sidney Rice, guys like that, that make a big impact on the team. And on the defensive side, you know, our defensive line is one of the, you know, good D-lines or great D-lines in the league at this time. And then you have our linebackers, a young core, but energetic, and they hit hard. And then you go back to the Legion of Boom, our safeties and our corners. And those guys are amazing on the corners and in the backfield. And we show up to play. And it's kind of the mentality, you know, like your little brother in a sense. And you got to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how our team is. It's like we're always going to be the little brother. We're always going to be the ones that's picked on and everything like that. And last year we decided, you know, no more. And we decided to step up.
There are probably no positions in the NFL that are more thankless than interior defensive linemen. I mean, you guys do all the dirty work and you get the least praise. I mean, the ends get the sacks, I mean, the majority of the time, and of course, everybody knows what the offense gets, but you're in a pretty thankless position in there. You get kind of muddying things up in there.
Yeah,
that's your goal, right?
It gets real muddy. Like Tony Siragusa, when I was in Cincinnati, came and talked to the defensive lineman, and he was like, you know, as a young defensive lineman, as a rookie D lineman, you know, you want to make big plays, you want to hit hard. And you want to, you know, show the coach and show everybody that you're a man and you're tough and things like that. But he said around about your third or fourth year, you start understanding the game and start slowing down for you a little bit more. So in that fact, he said, instead of sticking your head in there all the time, you're using your hands a lot more. You're moving your feet instead of getting rolled up. And like you said, the interior defensive lineman, it's one of those mucked up kind of like, you know, army type positions.
Sure.
You know, it's like a tank battle in there, and your bigs against my bigs.
Right.
You know, and it's one of those positions that has looked over and isn't really seen as, you know, a glorious position. But at the same time, guys like me, Brandon Meebang, and guys like, you know, Domantas Pacheco in Cincinnati, and guys around the league that play interior defensive line, they take pride in that. And I think that's the pride that they take in this humble state, that they don't have to brag about it or boast about it, and it speaks for itself.
What about I know you probably don't get a lot of time to be out there in the off season, but as far as Seattle, I mean, during the season, I mean, you know, what's it like as far as, I mean, certainly a different climate, different atmosphere than it is down here, a totally different vibe in Seattle.
Oh, man, I mean, when I come home, like you say, I came home last summer and it was 110, and the humidity was probably like, you know, at 55% humidity. And like I told the guys in when I was in Seattle, you know, when I walk outside down here, you automatically start sweating,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you got to turn the AC on. The AC don't come on for about 30 minutes in a brand new car because it's just that hot.
Yeah.
And going up there, the weather is just beautiful. It's a clean environment up there, and it's not hot. Doesn't have a lot of humidity in the air. So when it's maybe 80 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get in the shade, then it's a whole another 60 degrees or 20 degrees lighter or cooler.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful environment. But at the same time, you know, I appreciate the South. This is where I come to train and get it in, because this is where I was raised and this is where I was made in a sense.
Yeah. So what are you doing now between now and when you report back in late July? What's the plan for you as far as working out and getting ready?
Well, the regimen right now, like you say, first and foremost, get this camp started. And, you know, from the camp, I'm probably going back to Memphis for a little bit and start back training in Memphis with my trainer out there. And it's basically grind time. You know, it's a long push to the end of the season from right now. And you got to preserve your body, and you got to pretty much get ready now for game with 18, which is, you know, the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the mentality to prepare your body and eat the right foods and get your sleep and things like that, then you're already beating yourself. You're already losing.
Well, let me tell you what, when you guys start the season, after camp is done, I'm looking at your schedule here, your first three games, you get the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, uh-huh. you get the Broncos and Peyton Manning, and then you go to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You guys should play. You got a tough schedule at the start of the season. I know it's going to be tough all year, but those first
schedule,
three.
And I mean, the NFL is getting to one of those leagues. It's starting to be a passing league, and everybody knows it, so all the great quarterbacks are starting to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And the old greats are becoming greater. Like the Peyton Mannings, Eli Mannings, we play Drew Brees on the near end of the schedule. We even got Cam Newton in Carolina, the mm-hmm. first official game of the season. So Phillip Rivers and guys like that are kind of like, you know, the premonition of the season to come, and the premonition of the NFL. You got a lot of great passing quarterbacks, and everybody's going to like the Dan Marino style and the John Elway type quarterbacks, the rugged guys, and you know the Brett Favre. So I mean, to start with though that kind of preseason, it kind of gets you ready for the season.
So again, camp is Wednesday. It is at Dupree Park, and you can sign up at the Jacksonville Boys and Girls Club, or you can call 501-982-6418 and talk to Bonnie McDonald. Right?
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, great seeing you. Appreciate you coming by, and anytime you need anything, let us know. We'd love to catch up with you maybe during the season when we get a little closer.
Sure. Thanks a lot, man. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anytime. Dominic, appreciate you too.
No problem.
It's 11:23. We'll go ahead and take our time out right now. Coming up, we'll talk a little Major League Baseball. And Phil's got a game ball and a jockstrap, and his jockstrap is especially stinky.
It usually doesn't go to...